Well, this weekend, it's the 106th running of the Indianapolis 500, and we're about to join us. He's the lead caller for NBC. He's going to be calling all the action for the prestigious network. Now, the coverage here in Australia is with our friends at Stan Sport. It starts 1 a.m. Monday morning, and all the IndyCar races are live on Stan. Lee Diffie joining us. Lee, good morning to you.
Hey, Jared. Hey, Loz. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, obviously, a massive event that is iconic there in the States. Take us through the scene there in Indianapolis and what's already unfolded.
Well, last weekend was qualifying, and it was off the charts. There was a great crowd. Scott Dixon won his fifth pole position. We had a terrific viewership numbers. So there's a real sense of something special is going to happen again. So, you know, it's towards any main event, like the NRL Grand Final or AFL Grand Final, whatever. There's that build up, and you kind of get sucked into the draft of it, right? And you get caught up in the build up and the atmosphere, and that's the way that it feels here in India. It's great.
And well, you mentioned Scott Dixon. What about Scott McLaughlin? How's he faring heading into the big one this weekend?
Well, he was faring very well. I mean, he is not too far out of the championship lead. He won his very first IndyCar race earlier this year in St. Petersburg, Florida, and he was doing very well here at the Speedway. But unfortunately, timing and weather can be pretty cruel, and he was a victim of that. So everybody does an initial qualifying run, and it goes from the full field of 33. They pare it down to what they call the fast 12, and then they chop that in half to do the Firestone fast 6. And Scott was pretty well positioned after his first run. He was just outside that top 12, and he was going to go again to improve to get in it. And just the circumstances, the temperature had changed, the atmospheric conditions had changed. It was very humid. The way that they set up the car for his second run just wasn't good for speed. And he went from, and it's a gamble, it's a risk, right? So he ended up going, because you say, I want to go again, I've got to give my time away. And so it's a risky proposition, and unfortunately this time for him and Team Penske it didn't work out. So poor old Scotty Mac went from 15th to 26th. So it's going to be a long old day starting back there.
I'll tell you what, some of his comments, Scott McLaughlin, about some of his old supercars rivals, that's made some news back here in Australia from an interview he did over there, Lee.
So he's given some people a bit of a touch-up?
No, he's said that basically he came from a series in supercars here that was full of backstabbing.
Oh, okay. That spices it up.
Yeah, it's made some news back over here. So he slammed the likes of some of his former rivals. So it's made some news back here. But you look at someone like Will Power, who's leading. He's ahead, isn't he, over there as far as the championship standings are concerned. You wonder how big a star he would be back here in Australia if he did race here. I mean, describe the talent that he has.
Well, Will Power is extraordinary. You know, the career that he has been a really gifted architect of is something really special. He is not too far away from eclipsing Mario Andretti for the all-time poles won, which is incredible. It amazes him that he's being spoken about, you know, in that kind of way. He's already won an Indy 500. He's already won an IndyCar championship. And this year, you think about it in football terms, Laurie or golf or whatever it might be, any sport, you've really got to be in charge of your mental direction and your mental capacity and your temperament is so important. And Will's been known over the years as being pretty flighty. And this year, he in this past off-season, he really focused on not over-celebrating the highs and not over-analyzing the lows. He's trying to be more moderate. And he's the only guy in the series right now with the results he's had. He hasn't finished any worse than fourth. And he's leading the championships by this new measured approach. And it's working.
Well, that's working for Will. If I can ask you about Scott, though, with his transition, what's been the biggest challenges for him, and how have you assessed his performances over the last 12 months?
Well, they're so far apart, right? A supercar to an IndyCar in so many ways, right? I mean, I'm trying to think as I'm talking to you. It's like a BMX bike and an airport luggage trolley. Mm. You know, it's just two totally different things. Yes, it's a car. Yes, it's got four wheels, but that's about where the similarities stop. So what McLaughlin has already achieved to come in, to win Rookie of the Year last year, to win a race, to have led the championship already, is truly quite extraordinary, because these cars are a beast to drive, and you're not just driving it on a road course, you're driving it on a street course, you're driving it on a short oval, and you're driving it on a super speedway like the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So you have to be great across all disciplines. And as you know, in broadcasting, you can't have favourites or you can't be a fan. But boy, he has my admiration, because not too many people truly understand just the bizarrely different world that he has existed in. And he seems to make it look easy, which speaks to his fabulous talent.
We're speaking with Lee Diffie, who will commentate the Indianapolis 500 for NBC this weekend. And Lee, for people not familiar with the traditions, what's the deal with the milk for the winner?
Well, that's one of the trademarks of the sport. It'd be like, you know, I don't know, what do we do back home? We spray champagne, or you have a beer, or whatever. Here, it's a tradition that was started a long time ago. And you know that the drivers, before each Indy 500, they have to submit their selection. So you can say, I want whole milk, I want 2% milk, I want fat-free milk, I want almond milk, I want oat milk. You know, they give you the whole menu, and you've got to check the box, tick the box, and tell them what you want to drink if you're the lucky one to win.
What would you go, Loz?
Oh, geez, I don't know, actually. What would you go?
Well, I'm just a full cream. You can't give me almond milk or anything.
No. I'll go the stock standard milk. Yeah. I'll go the stock standard milk. Hey, Lee, we were talking off air before we did this interview about, you know, how long you've been away over there in America. And, oh, geez, I only thought it was 10 or 15 years, but you're telling me you've been over there for 20 years. How have you found it? And what about getting your breakthrough over there? How did it all come about?
Well, you know, it's kind of one of those things, isn't it? It'd be like a footy player, a cricket player trying to break through. And, you know, I can say I'm a 25-year overnight success. You know, it's just, you know, right time, right place, recognizing the opportunities, having good people helping me out. I had a wonderful upbringing in Channel 10 in Sydney, and where I worked at Sports Tonight as a freelance journo, and then on weekends, I'd call V8 Supercars and I'd work on Formula One and MotoGP and everything else. But being in that newsroom in Sydney, there in Pyrmont, really taught me a lot. I had a lot of great teachers. In particular, Bill Woods taught me about writing and taught me about word efficiency and etc. And you know, I was at Channel 10 at a pretty special time when Sports Tonight was roaring, and it was Billy and Tim Webster and Matty White and myself, and it was just a really good time, and there were some tremendous journalists that I was around, and so I still use things that I learned in that Sydney Channel 10 newsroom to this very day. So did that, then I went to the UK, I worked for the BBC, and then I came here to the United States in 2002, and maybe, Laurie, it doesn't seem that long, because I would come back, even though I lived here, I'd come back to Australia, and I'd host the Formula One Grand Prix, and I'd host MotoGP, and I did about 5 years of golf, which was really cool. So yeah, it's been a wonderful journey, and you know, I've never lost sight of where I come from, and I really cherish my Australian roots for sure.
And crucially, doesn't sound like there's any American accent there. Well, you know, your Aussie mates would pull you back into line pretty quickly.
I know. Think about our poor kids. Our two boys were born in Atlanta, Georgia, so they got a couple of Aussie parents. My wife grew up; she's an Aussie, but she grew up in Canada, so she has a North American accent. I've got this housing commission Western suburbs of Brisbane accent, and our poor boys, they confuse their teachers because they talk like Americans, which they are, but they use Aussie language, so it's pretty funny.
And your Brisbane Broncos, mate, geez, they've found a bit of form.
Oh, let's go, Loz. Let's go.
And Origin's just around the corner.
So listen, I'm gonna spin a little bit of an Australian angle on this right now. I'm in downtown Indianapolis. I'm sitting outside a restaurant, and inside the restaurant, Neil Crompton, the Supercars commentator, is waiting for me. And then later this week, I think Indianapolis will never be the same because old Disco Dave Carlson is coming.
Oh, look out.
And yeah, look out, all right. I think I'd better let the hotel management know that the disco's coming in hot.
Okay.
So there's a really great Australian flair here. Britt Murray, a legendary Australian PR guy, worked in Supercars for a long time. Crusher is here. The McLaughlin, Scotty Mack's parents and sister, they haven't seen each other in nearly 3 years. They're here. I met Wayne and Diane the other night, and Scott's sister arrives tomorrow. So there's a really nice Aussie feel this year, you know, or down under feel, Aussie Kiwi.
And we're talking several hundred thousand converge on Indianapolis, don't they, for this event?
You're correct. It's the biggest single day sporting crowd in the world, and there is nothing like it. And I know that we all have our sporting bucket list, like, you know, Augusta and Wimbledon and maybe the French Open, whatever it might be, a Premier League game, Manchester United, whatever the bucket list is for your listeners. You really have to put this one on, even if you're not a motorsport fan, because it's the only place in the world where you see 330,000 people in the one place at the one time. And it's just extraordinary. And the energy that comes from having in excess of 300,000 people in the one place is just wild. You'll never see anything like it in your life.
What's the trackside delicacy then? What's the equivalent to us having a pie at the footy? What are they having there trackside in Indianapolis?
Yeah, probably everything you would expect. Burgers and fries and hot dogs.
in jumbo size,
yeah,
too.
Foot-long dog.
Okay, before...
massive cans of beer.
Beautiful. Now, before you go, Lee, I know you're an impartial broadcaster, of course, but give us a prediction.
Well, I don't like doing predictions, but I'm going to tell you an interesting story and another reason to watch on Stan. Is seven-time NASCAR Cup Series champion Jimmy Johnson is in the field. Jimmy transitioned from NASCAR to IndyCar last year. He is in his mid to late 40s. This is not an easy undertaking. So we were talking about Scott McLaughlin's progress and his transition from supercars to IndyCar. Well, Jimmy Johnson has gone through the same. So, you know, he is there with the late Dale Earnhardt and with Richard Petty at seven NASCAR Cup Series championships, which is just extraordinary. And he said, I'm going to come and race IndyCar because that's what I thought I was going to do at the beginning of my career. On road and street courses, he hasn't done very well, just to be honest. And he will tell you that. If he was on this call, he'd say my results haven't been what I'd like them to be. But on an oval is where he is a specialist. And if Jimmy Johnson was to win this weekend, there's only two people on the planet who have ever won the Daytona 500 and Indy 500, and that's Mario Andretti and AJ Foyt. So imagine that. Jimmy's already tied with Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Richard Petty on the NASCAR side. Imagine if he joins Mario and AJ on the IndyCar side to win the Indy 500 and the Daytona 500. Extraordinary.
That would be some story. Well, Lee, you enjoy. Certainly, I'm sure, a pinch yourself moment again for you. Appreciate your time today. And we'll watch it all on Stan in the early hours of Monday morning.
Thank you, boys. I really appreciate the time and the interest. And, you know, hopefully your viewers can hear that I've never lost touch with my Australian roots, and there has never been an Aussie do what I'm doing over here, and I'm very proud about that, and I'll never lose touch with my Aussie roots.
No, great stuff, mate. Well done. Thank you so much.